Please be seated. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
And welcome to our morning service today. A very special welcome to those who are listening to the service as part of our recorded ministry. We hope that you will enjoy the next 40 minutes or so, and that you will feel closer to the fellowship meeting here at Emmanuel on this gloriously sunny morning. All of our notices are in the weekly news sheet, so I hope you've all got a copy of that. In terms of our service this morning, it's being conducted by our minister, Robert Jordan, and the reading from the book of Exodus will be given by me, Steve Brain. The only thing I should say in connection with this morning is that those of you who've been coming over the past few weeks have been using the alternate door to go out. This morning, we're going to go back to the way we've always done it, and please go out the way you came in. A number of people have found the slope on the exit on the west side of the church there a little bit difficult to cope with, and we've decided the risk of cross-contamination of anybody coming in as you're going out is absolutely zero. So please use the door to go out that you came in this morning. And now we'll have a few moments of quiet as we prepare to worship God.
Good morning to you all. It's great to see you and to see people we haven't seen before, but we know you are around, and it's a good time of sharing. And as Steve said, it's a beautiful morning with the sun coming through the window, and we pray that you enjoy this time and beyond. Just also to let you know that as from today, those people who can from High Worth will be also receiving the recording of the service. So in a way, they will be sharing worship with us. May the peace and the love of God, that so often we just don't understand but we believe is present, be with us and with God's people everywhere. Amen. The book of Romans says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The greatest challenge probably before us of all times. The first hymn we will be listening to this morning from the Emmanuel 70 celebration, King of Glory, King of Peace.
I will not let you go.
started meeting again every Sunday at the beginning of the service. We liked the square candle, the multi-layered coloured candle, in which we call it looking back. It's the candle by which we give to God our fears, our worries, our sadness, our not knowing what to do or how to do it. And while we reflect on that, be able to say, "Dear God, I give to you. Help me walk on." I invite you to join in this time of prayer, that we will end softly saying the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. For the sun that shines, the birds that sing, the bees, for nature, for the times of colours that will be changing. We give you thanks because in your plan and in your love, through all this you remind us of how we evolve, how we are not always in the same place doing the same thing, that in change there is development, there is growth, there are new possibilities. Lord Creator, because your plan is something that we marvel at but don't fully understand, and we give you thanks for that, that you are greater than what we can ever imagine, and that we can look to you in awe, admiration, and thanksgiving. For the people we love and the people that love us, we give you thanks for what we have learnt and continue to learn, for what we can do and have not yet done but lies ahead. We give you thanks that over these times that have been complicated and difficult, we have found ways forward, even often closed behind the doors of our own home. Loving and caring God, we praise you. We glorify you. We come before you. Thank you for allowing us to feel that we are part of the body which is much larger than those who are here today, those who will be listening to the service, much larger and more extensive than what we can ever imagine, that being part of that reminds us of a plan that we are part of as well. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for all that has brought us comfort. What we have read, the music we've listened to, the conversations we have had. All that which has enriched our lives. And we seek your forgiveness for taking so much for granted, for forgetting that which is extraordinary. It really is. And reducing it to a simple act of routine. Forgive us if we forget that connection which makes us human. Forgive us for rapidly jumping to conclusions. Forgive us if we are not willing to give second opportunities. Forgive us, dear Lord, for forgetting about hope and love. Forgive us, dear God, all that denies your presence, that transformed by the grace of the Spirit, we may be reborn to a new reality, the reality of your children called to serve and love one another. Through you, in the power of the Spirit, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we pray. And as your children, we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, the second book of Exodus, chapter 13, verses 3 to 15. And last week we heard the lovely story of Moses and the bulrushes. We now look at a slightly later stage of his life. So Exodus 2, chapter 13, verses 3 to 15. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses! Moses! And Moses said, "Here I am." Then the Lord said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve, for leading us in the reading. O Lord, help us to hear, and help us that what we hear means something to us, something that will change us, bring us closer to you and to each other. Amen. So far in Exodus, more than anything else, Pharaoh seemed to be dying. The story starts with one Pharaoh, then goes on to another one, and this is the third one we've met. So being Pharaoh is possibly an unhealthy job. The end of chapter 2. Last week, as Steve said, we heard of the baby Moses. He's now an adult. And the reading begins with groans, with cries, with suffering, with the mounting oppression of the Hebrew slaves, which apparently goes unnoticed. Nobody seems to care. And we know that there is more to come. In the final verse of chapter 2, we are told that hearing the people groan, God remembers the covenant. That's the first surprise I've always found. I never imagined that God would forget. But he remembers the covenant. I'm not saying he forgets. Just what the text is saying is an emphasis. The covenant suddenly becomes important. Moses, as you know, has had to flee Egypt. He has killed an Egyptian. That's why he's terrified of going back to the Pharaoh. There's a price on his head. He's now serving his father-in-law, and he's reached the mountain of God. And as a good Church of Scotland, what does he see? The burning bush. Only the people background in the Church of Scotland will understand what I'm talking about. The burning bush that is never to be consumed has always been the symbol of the Church of Scotland. So now we know Moses was Church of Scotland. Don't tell anybody else about that. A bush that is on fire but is not consumed, and suddenly voices coming out of it. If this weren't a Bible text, we'd be having to call a psychiatrist probably to examine what's going on. Don't get any closer. Take your sandals off. This is a holy place. Have you ever stood barefooted on hot sand? It's not pleasant. And in a desert, it's not only sand, there must be stones as well. That is Moses' reality. And the painting you have below, it's still hanging there, yes, that hangs in my office. It's always hung in my office. This, to me, is one of the best paintings Sylvia ever painted. She did it specially for me, and I've ever said if I write a book, this will be on the cover of the book. I haven't written a book, so for the moment, all I can use it for is an illustration of the service. It replicates what we have just seen. The moment where Moses sees the bush alight but not burning. So you get the bush in yellow on the painting, surrounded by the blue sky and the browns of the sand. You are in the same place that Moses is, not in the painting, outside and looking in. What follows is to me one of the most transformative actions in the whole Bible. I see this as an anticipation of the incarnation, of Jesus taking, of God taking the human form in Jesus. God says he has seen the misery, he has heard the cry, he knows the suffering, and he chooses to come down. Four actions in the hands of God. I have come down not to gloat, not to make fun, to deliver. Our faith develops us from a God who hears, sees, recognizes, and comes down because he can no longer be the God of far away. This is clearly, in theology, one of the most political actions of God. He is here to free the people from Egypt, because nothing that we admire in Egypt today was built by Pharaoh or Pharaoh's family. It was built by slaves like these. And when Moses goes to Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, we can't let them go. Who's going to do the hard work? Who's going to build the pyramids, which will be the tourist industry of Egypt in the 21st century? Eventually, this leads to the God taking the human shape. Emmanuel, God with us, is very similar to I am who I am. But God, having seen, having heard, knowing, doesn't replace the human effort. It's not a question of saying, oh, you do it. Let me look to see how you do it. God says, I will send you. You will be going to Pharaoh. Not me. You will be going to Pharaoh. And Moses gets the fright of his life.
As every good prophet, he will have 101 excuses. I stutter. There's a price on my head. I can't do it. And God says, I will send you. And you will bring out my people. God is always close to the people. He's the God who hears, who sees, who knows, who says, I will be with you. And this has been the source of strength to the suffering people of every era in the history of the world. Whenever there has been pain, wherever there has been suffering, wherever there is oppression, wherever there are oppressors, I am. Not only hears, but sees, recognizes, knows, and decides to come down and deliver. And this is done with the people who respond to his calling. Interesting to note that in the Hebrew sacred text, where Moses asks for, who are you? There are books 10 piles high explaining what I am who I am really means. And it only means you can't define me with words. So in the Old Testament, as we call it, there are between 100 and 120 different names of God. And we use lots of them. Lord, Lord Almighty, Jehovah, Judge, Most High, the Shepherd, King, Mighty One, and of course, I Am. And we use God with us. Think of all the current situations in the world where there is such suffering, such pain, and so many people crying out. Yemen is still an issue. Syria, bombed to pieces. Beirut, the Uyghur people, the Rohingya people, Black Lives Matter, the refugees that nobody wants. Slavery is still around in so many different forms and shapes. Who cares? They only become a topic of conversation if they want to come close to us. But as long as they're over there, but they are there. And this reading is one of them that teaches us that God does care. And God will intervene. And God does call. And there are people who respond. God will still always come down to lead the people through others to a new land. A land of love, of life, of hope, of abundance. There will always be people who see a burning bush in a desert, who will draw close, who will be reminded that they are on holy ground, and will suddenly hear the words, I am sending you. How that is different for each person. And sometimes being sent is simply through phone calls, as it was in the good old days when we could give somebody a hug, where we could sit down. God sees, God hears, God acts, God is present. And once again, our Bible reading that refers to the past has suddenly become alive in the present in which we live. The Spirit fills our lives with longing for the fullness of life, as it fills the longing of all people. All people need, want, are entitled to the fullness of life. That is God's will in Jesus Christ. And there will always be people who respond. May God give us the sense of calling. Not all of us will confront Pharaoh, but we will be able to do something that will bring hope and fulfillment to the lives of others, particularly those who are groaning. May the mercy, the blessing, and the peace of God be with you all. Amen. This is the Sanctus from the Misa Criolla, and the soloist is José Carreras.
Santo, santo, santo,
santo, santo,
Señor, Dios del universo, santo, santo, santo,
santo, santo,
Señor, Dios del universo, llenos están los cielos. Y la tierra de tu gloria, llenos están los cielos, y la tierra de tu gloria. Hosanna en las alturas. Hosanna en las alturas.
If you've ever sang or heard a Sanctus, no matter what language it's in, you can follow the words, holy, 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 in heaven and earth. Glory to him. We dedicate the offering and our lives. Loving and caring God, we receive so much, and from all that we receive, we set apart that which we give. In the plate, and through every other means, that who we are and what we have may be used to the glory of your name. Let us see, let us hear, let us recognize, let us live to bring hope in this world. Amen. At different times of this prayer of intercession, I will say, Jesus, Lord of life, if you would like to respond in your mercy, hear us. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Let us pray. We give you thanks today for so many things, the 1,000 miracles we take for granted, the vitality and diversity of the natural world, for the stability of the created world. Thank you for the way the body goes on functioning with such remarkable ways, even when it has to adapt to difficult changes. Train our hearts to be thankful so that we live daily out of deep sense of gratitude and humility. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. We know that our world is both wonderful and flawed at every point. We do see symptoms of a disordered world in the news broadcasts. Bless, we pray, those parts of the world specially damaged and in need of healing at this moment. We remember those who suffer discrimination. We remember those who are persecuted, those who have to leave their countries, those who take the risky journeys of crossing land, mountains, forests, and seas. We pray for leaders in the world, upright, honest, faithful. And we pray for the support of the international community. Keep us from the sin of believing that the problems of others have nothing to do with us. For we are the children of the one Heavenly Father. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. We pray for the church, our own church, Highworth United Reformed Church, the Old Town Partnership. Forgive us if we don't do what we should do. Give us joyful hearts which will allow you to work through us. And as your children, help us to make a difference in this world. We pray for people in any kind of need for whom life in fullness would seem very hollow. For the lonely, the bereaved, the despairing, the desperate, the unemployed, the homeless, the deserted, those who have no friends. For those who in the next few days will be going back to schools, their families, the teachers, the teaching assistants. For those we know who aren't well and have been asked to bring in prayer this morning, Sarah Slack's sister, Gina. And for all of those who are close to our hearts, in this silence, O Lord, we present them to you. And we pray for ourselves. Help us this day to live as those who have been given the glorious liberty of the children of God through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit. Make us ready to do and respond to what we hear, say, and know about. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Amen. Our final hymn, closing this morning, Still, Still with Thee, When Purple Morning Breaketh.
Thank you.
Last Sunday, a number of you said, is there any time during the service where we could stand without the cushions? The pews get a bit hard on the body. I haven't discovered yet when, but if you would like to stand now for the blessing, take this as a first rehearsal of what we will try and do when the worship committee meets. This hymn I chose because in the reading God says, I am who I am, I will be with you always. May our response be, as the hymn says, that we will be with God. So go in the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to love, to serve, to hear, to see, and to respond as God's children in a world that needs God's presence. God's blessing keep you, heal you, sustain you. Amen.